good to be in this place this day. I have wrestled over this message a great deal. I've done a tremendous amount of research because there's so much that I want to share with you this morning. I'm glad that 245 years ago, we had some men who sat down, took a pen, and signed the Declaration of Independence. They knew they had a tremendous enemy to overcome, but they were willing to take on that enemy. I want to preach to you today about an enormous enemy that we have right now. In many respects, much larger than what our forefathers experienced those many years ago. I want us, first of all, go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, the book of Ephesians. I want to share with you the reason that we need to deal with the subject that we're going to deal with this morning. In chapter number 5, I'm going to read the first 11 verses. He begins by saying, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Let us pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be in this place on this day. Lord, as we celebrate the 4th and many people with just the idea of partying, we must stop and thank you for what you have given us here. We think of our forefathers, but we need to think of our Father. For you are the one who made things possible. When we read the stories and we hear the accounts of things that took place, they could never have happened if it were not for the hand of Almighty God. And how you control things that this nation might be founded, it might be built. But Lord, as we look today, we know that there's a great onslaught. There's an enormous enemy that's seeking to destroy us. And so I pray this morning you help us to see that enemy, that we might be better rehearsed in understanding of that which lie ahead of us, that we might be prepared to be a people who, like our forefathers, are ready to take up arms. And I don't mean by guns and so forth. Lord, you understand what I mean. That we might be willing to stand and arm ourselves with the Word of God and the armor of God. Bless in these moments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 245 years ago, the Declaration of Independence was signed and our nation was formed. Its emphasis was liberty from tyranny. Tyranny is cruel, unreasonable, or arbitrary use of power or control. King George was a tyrant. We find that this tyranny has raised its ugly head once again. And I believe it needs to be exposed. In verse number 4 of our text, we find that it talks about great deception and that we ought not to be deceived by it. Verse 6, I should say, let no man be deceived. Matter of fact, we look and we see the Lord telling us here that we need to reprove these things. Did you notice that in verse 11? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. If we don't see the horrible situation we are in, we are likely to overlook some things and be taken captive by our foe, Satan. One of the worst enemies we can have is ignorance of what those who are against us are seeking to accomplish. I want us today to stop and look at three gigantic enemies that we are at war with. Not going to war, we are right now at war with it. I want us to first of all stop and consider that we have what I have listed or described as social enemies. We stop today and we look at a thing called critical race theory. We hear it over and over, but it's simply this, a belief that all that we do or say is based on race. White people have had all the advantages and have kept other races at bay. Matter of fact, it has been determined by some of these who are involved in this that the Constitution of the United States was written by white people to promote white people. And so we have these kinds of things. Our nation was founded on the basis of equality. There's nobody in this room that is any better or any worse than this preacher. Though this nation was not perfect, little by little, equal rights or equality has come. There was a time when women could not vote, but now they have that privilege. There was a time when they felt as though they were being taken advantage of. But today that has changed so much. We find that there is all of these changes that have come about as a result of our nation understanding equality. It's not a person or possessions, but an equal opportunity to rise up, as has been demonstrated by literally thousands of people. And that does not matter as to our race. It does not matter as to our education. It matters just simply to the person and how much they seek to go after their dream. They believe that through hard work, good citizenship, and integrity, they could fulfill their dreams. Matter of fact, this was the message of Martin Luther King Jr. In the 19th century, there was a man by the name of Karl Marx. Have you heard the name? Karl Marx began to promote a utopian state through socialism. Please follow me with all of this. We're going somewhere. And he believed that if a country was going to be in its proper position, it needed to have socialism. He believed that the installation of such a state would mean revolution because those who were in control would not allow it to take place. And so he saw revolution as coming from workers who believed there was an imbalance between them and the capitalist. By the way, if we'll be honest about it and go back a few years, this was the message that labor unions took up when they began to hire arbitrators college graduates to do their work for them rather than to do it themselves. This particular revolution that he spoke of did occur in the Soviet Union. It happened in China, Cambodia, Cuba, and other places. The result of it has been this. In that rebellious time, in the 20th century, over 100 million people died. I mean, can you imagine? In the mid-1960s, the American Marxists began to realize their failure with a large middle class that had obtained much of the American dream. And so they began to change their emphasis. In order to create a revolution, they looked elsewhere to pit races against each other. It shows itself in our nation in diversity training. I am sure that in this room that there are those who have been in employment somewhere where they've had to take some sort of diversity training, whether you realize it or not. They banter terms like equity, social justice, diversity, and inclusiveness, culture-responsive teaching, all of these with little backlash. Let's stop and think of the word equity for just a moment. Most of the time we think of equity, we think equal or equality. It is not what it means at all. Equality is where each begins with the mind and body God gave them. But with the equity, it's not how it begins, but how it ends. In other words, in order for equity to take place, all must have ownership of everything. And thus, private ownership goes out the door. Study the history of Russia as I have, and you will find that took place and generated itself over the many years since 1917. This kind of training takes place, by the way, in the workplace. Listen to me, in public school curriculum and exercises. And covertly through TV programs. You parents ought to stop and look at the cartoons your children are watching and have some discernment, because this kind of thing is there. To give an illustration, a large company took several of their employees, their CEOs, on a retreat. At the end of that retreat, the requirement for all that were participating was to write a letter of apology to the communist activist Angela Davis. That will not mean something to many in this room, but it does others. And so we find this kind of agenda taking place in the social world. We also find in our social enemies is that of the LGBTQHIJK. From bathrooms to the sports field, we're being inundated with a sinful lifestyle that is being given to us as beautiful. It's not. By the way, if a boy can compete against girls in a girls' track meet, why cannot a horse compete in a dog race? It's the same principle. And yet we have this going on. This agenda is implemented into our public schools, and they have classes on gender equity and white privilege. If you think I'm kidding, you need to look at some things. Let me share a couple things with you. There's a website called teacherpayteacher.com. It has about 85% of the educators of America seeking their materials. They have 5,552 lessons on Black Lives Matter. They have 3,712 lessons on the critical race theory. They have 166 articles on white privilege. How we need to look at some things. I have in my hands here something, and it's called See the White Privilege and Gender Equity Indoctrination Plans for Kindergartners. You think that it starts at older? Oh, no. Let me share a couple of thoughts with you. I get to my right pages in this. One of the things it says is this. One plan titled Social Justice and Racial Equity Unit in Kindergarten urged pre-kindergartners to first grade children to become race conscious. You know, it's amazing, kids, they don't see color until somebody teaches them. Another thing, students are asked, with your partner, who has the lighter skin and who is darker? What difference does it make? Another one of the lessons for kindergartners is called Pink is for Boys, Lesson on Gender Equality. It asks the students to do activities that focus on color and gender equality. And on we go. We find that I have a picture, the first page of one of the books, Social Justice and Racial Equity. It's a 10-day unit for our youngest students to learn about racial justice and racial equity. In one of the assignments, it's called Be Unique, Y-O-U-Unique. Teachers are to read aloud, My Princess Boy. Do you hear that? Which is about a boy who prefers to wear a pink dress and pretend he's a princess. And so the teacher then is to ask the student, how does this make you feel? Another topic is called the woke classroom, where they talk about gender pronouns and how to use them. And guidelines for establishing a safe space. By the way, safety in that realm is not to be there. There's an agenda by him. Not only do we have the social enemies, but we have political enemies. Right now, China has been emboldened by a weak president. Let me say that again, a weak president to build up their military. They're seeking to be able to come against us militarily. By the way, do you ever wonder why the Wuhan lab was making viruses even more powerful? Why were they enhancing them? Are the Chinese above biological warfare? It's well understood that they are proponents of it. I ask this question with COVID and all of its devastation. Was it a test run to control us? Life means little to them as they have murdered millions of people. They are a political enemy. And yet some of our people in the executive and legislative branches are playing footsie with them. We find that we have, though many will disagree with it, what we sometimes call deep state corruption. They manipulate for millions of dollars, and when they're caught, they cover each other's backs. With all of the wrong, with all the evidence of wrongdoing, Bill Barr never prosecuted one person. Do you ever wonder why? I believe we have some political enemies. But more than that, we have spiritual enemies. There's a battle going on right now for the infallibility of the Bible. I ask you a question. Why do we have over 200 translations of the Bible in English while there are 3,000 or more languages with no translation? Why is that taking place? Could it be because there's an attack upon the best Bible we have called the King James? That which God's preserved for us? Why do many people believe it's God's thoughts that are inspired and not His words? This is the battle between, there's some names for it, these would be names that you can have or not have, verbal plenary inspiration. In other words, all the words are interpreted as words. And then there's dynamic equivalency. And that is talking about the thought is equivalent to what God has. In other words, you can see the thought of God, you can write it down in your words and call it a new translation. That has taken place over and over again. However, the Bible says every word of God, this is interesting, every word of God is pure. He doesn't say every thought of God is pure. He says every word. He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. Jesus, it tells us, says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's spiritual enemies, and it's in the battle for the Bible. There's a battle that's taking place right now between, I would describe as modernism and fundamentalism. Modernism is simply this, it's a modifying of traditional beliefs in accordance with modern ideas. In other words, we need to take the Word of God and make it more plausible to our society today. That doesn't win people to Christ. And it's wrong, tell you the truth. Fundamentalism is the long-held beliefs and the doctrines of the Bible. It isn't changing the position of belief, but it's a matter of changing ourselves that is needed. There's also, I believe, a great battle against materialism where pleasures are promoted. And we could take a whole service to talk about there is a tremendous battle taking place for the families of God as Satan seeks to destroy. And it's in every household. We look and we see this enemy. We see a social enemy. We see a political enemy. We see a spiritual enemy. And we look and it's enormous. And it seems like he is enlarging on all fronts. And when you look at it, you say, how in the world can we defeat all of that? But how we need to remember one thing. We have God. We have God. I've been so interested the last week and a half. The Nelsons have gone through some horrible times as they have dealt with all the emotions that take place with their little great-granddaughter. By the way, she's home. I was just talking to them, and somebody in the family had gotten in there, and the nurses and doctors were talking, and they were just absolutely astounded. But we have a God. Let me read this to you. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9. Isaiah was discouraged. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word, not his thoughts, by the way, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, he could not stop. He could not quit. He says, I've heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Reports, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. I say to you today, it's not time to quit. It's not time to stop. That is not there. I don't believe there's a retirement age with God. You may retire from some employment, but we don't retire from God. In Isaiah 59, verse 19 says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood." When we stop and think about our social enemies, our political enemies, and our spiritual enemies, does that not sound like a flood of opposition? And then it says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." We have God. We have God. There's a great battle. The first one, I believe, is for your soul. You have sinned and you need a Savior. That's the first battle out there. The second battle is for your mind. It's to discourage you and make you quit. But we're to have the mind of Christ, which was humble and victorious. When I was growing up, my mother and I played a lot of games of checkers. And she taught me how to play. And I know there were many times that I beat her, that she let me beat her. I remember one day, I don't know who it was, I was playing checkers with one of my kids. And my mother was there. And she got upset with me because I wasn't letting them win. I'm not too excited about ball games where nobody wins. What's the point? But I'm on the winning side. I might have enemies that are far greater than myself. They could inundate my mind, but I have God. And He is victor. By the way, you can kill me, and I just got the victory. Because you just sent me to heaven. And if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Thank God. I'm on the victory side. Amen? I used to play ping pong with a friend of mine. He'd come over to the house and we had a ping pong table in our basement. Paul Carey was his name, and Paul was good. He said, "Let's go play ping pong." We go downstairs and we play ping pong, and he'd beat me. And it happened over and over again. You know what I did? I got rid of the ping pong table. I don't like being on the losing side, do you? But what I know is this: the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a time we can gather together. Thank you for this nation. Thank you for those who stood against so many enemies in those early days. But, oh God, help us understand we have great enemies today. And they seek to destroy us, not just as a nation, but as a people of God. As churches and families, Lord, I pray that you help us understand, and we might prepare ourselves, that we might realize that you and through you alone, we can have victory. Lord, today I pray you might bless and work in hearts, whatever the need might be, For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.